Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch the chase for the cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. Happy Wednesday on yet another chilly, snowy Wednesday in Nashville. Willie Donick joins us from L.A. Ryan McDonough will join us here in just a few minutes. Predators defenseman Ryan McDonough will get his thoughts, how you turn around from that loss in Vegas, looking ahead to the game tomorrow night in L.A. So stay tuned for that here in just a few minutes. We'll also chat with Jonathan Hutton in 1 hour. Dan Graziano of ESPN has put out maybe a front runner in the Titans open head coaching candidacy. So we will chat about that with Jonathan Hutton. Also what Derrick Henry had to say with Buss and with the boys that came out last night. So we'll get into all of that with Jonathan Hutton in 1 hour. D. Mace, happy, happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. The big 5-0. Man,
big 5-0.
How does it feel, D-Mace? Welcome to the club.
Don't look a day over 25.
Hey, it feels great. It feels wonderful. I woke up this morning, so that's half the battle right there.
Do you have any big birthday plans?
No, a lot of it got canceled because of the weather. My daughter and my son and I were supposed to go out, but we had to cancel all of that. So we'll do something this weekend. So I'm not worried about it. You know, I'm here with y'all. That's enough for now.
I remember on my birthday over the summer, the Titans signed DeAndre Hopkins. Mm-hmm. So if the Titans could give you a birthday gift today, D-Mace, what would that birthday gift be? Because I know that they gave me personally DeAndre Hopkins, which is very kind of them.
Oh, man, they can give me a birthday gift, put me in a ring of honor. There we go. It had to be a wonderful birthday gift. Or get a coach that gets along with upper management. Let's just say that. Harmony.
That's so much to ask.
That's not a lot to ask. Come on.
That's a humble birthday request, you guys. All right, we'll chat with Ryan McDonough here in just a few minutes. But Willie, one thing that I wanted to break down with Ryan McDonough is, you know, we've seen that the Predators go through kind of a high point, a low point, great games, maybe turn around, not have their best performance. We saw Friday night in Dallas. That was their best stuff. Saturday night against the Islanders wasn't the best game they've played all season, but still found a way to win. They played hard against Vegas, just didn't show up on the scoreboard. So when you look at this team and the way that Barry Trotz has constructed it, of the leadership, the quote-unquote serial winners, Ryan McDonough falls into that category. So I'm intrigued to see kind of how Ryan McDonough views his role, not just on the ice, but in terms of leadership as well.
Yeah, I think that's why you need guys like him who have been through a lot of seasons like this, where you know that there's going to be some ups and downs in there. Just looking at the scores last night, the Predators had, I think, some decent results for them. The Kraken lost again. The thing that was tough was the Flames beat the Coyotes in overtime, 3-2. So both teams get points. So it's going to be a battle. I think you just settle in and you know that it's a marathon and you can't get too excited when you win a couple and you can't panic when you lose a couple. I think that's really what I've seen over my years in covering that. Good teams are able to shake off a night that doesn't go their way for whatever reason, right? Whether you hated the way you played or you feel like you played well and deserved better than you got. I thought it was a good, and I think you hear this from Barry Trotz. I always am really intrigued his weekly discussions with Jared.
Yeah.
Because I think if you listen to Barry Trotz, he's pretty consistent with what he's saying, whether they're coming off a couple of wins or coming off a tough loss. His one last week was after they lost to the Ducks. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I know that wasn't that stung for a while. Then they come back and win the two games. So it's just it's part of the ebb and flow of an 82 game season. It's everybody knows that, but when you're in it, I know as a fan that that's the thing that makes it great is you feel so good after you win, right? There's no better feeling when you beat the team that you can't stand, like the Dallas Stars, and you come back with another dramatic win, and that was that great feeling in Smashville that you know had been eluding them the last couple of games. And then you lose, and it's a tough loss. You look at it a day or two later, and you're saying, that's the defending Stanley Cup champion. Yeah. That team's been really dominant at home, and you're not going to win every game. But it still stings the same way any loss stings. Like, oh, man, why can't they win every game? You know, that's kind of the mentality that a fan has, and that's natural. That's what makes sports great.
It's easy to get caught up in the ebbs and the flows, and it's easy to maybe – get caught up in one single game or one single loss or a string of wins, a string of losses. But we're getting to the point in the season just over halfway where I think you have to start looking at it for it. You have to start looking at the season as a whole, and you have to start looking at, okay, now what comes next? And you mentioned, you know, not getting too high, not getting too low. Look at Edmonton. They had a horrific start to the season, and now they've won, what, 11 straight?
11 straight, and that was a big game last night in against Toronto in the spotlight, and they beat a really good team. Now it's Toronto. Everybody's panicking in Toronto, right? But I think by the end of the season, you'll see that Toronto's going to be right there with the top teams. But everybody thinks the world is ending right now. And meanwhile, Edmonton, after it looked like their world was ending early in the season, they can do absolutely no wrong right now. So it's just, again, it's a marathon season. There's always going to be twists and turns.
I did see a funny comparison on Twitter the other day. It was a picture of Dak Prescott with the Toronto Maple Leafs logo on his helmet.
Oh, no.
Those are two fan bases that unfortunately, like, they know they're always going to be there. They have a ton of talent. They'll be in the playoff picture. They're going to get a lot of buzz. Every year, it's, this one's our year. This year is different. And then you fall short.
I think we got Ryan.
We do. Right? Yeah.
Oh, great. Awesome. Okay. Ryan, joining us now is Predators defenseman Ryan McDonough. Ryan, really appreciate your time and appreciate you joining us this morning. We were just discussing, you know, kind of your role on this team, how Barry Trotz wanted to bring in players that were serial winners, that he wanted to establish a sense of leadership in this locker room. And that is the role that you've assumed, not just on the ice, but off the ice as well. And looking at a team that has a lot of youth, when you've gone through some highs and some lows, you had the highest of the highs in Dallas on Friday, and then you play hard, you're not able to come up with a win against the defending Stanley Cup champions on Tuesday night. So how do you view your role as a leader on this team and keeping this team focused on the goals ahead, even in some ebbs and flows of the season?
Yeah, no, for sure. Obviously, you remember as a young player how much the swings happen, like you talked about, and you try to make sure that those ups and downs don't affect guys too much, and you don't want things to snowball kind of in either direction, to be honest with you, as I've learned. Obviously, you know, you win a couple games, you want to make sure you're still playing the right way and winning games in the right fashion, so to speak. And obviously, when you lose games, you don't want things to snowball if you're not doing things the right way either. So, you know, you look at each game as a opportunity to improve and get better and try to get more consistent. And, you know, our group has done a great job of sticking together and really just trying to rally around different moments. Obviously, it's not perfect at times, and we have games where, you know, we're not playing nearly as well as we should or up to the standard that we want to hold each other accountable to. But overall, I just love the way we've responded, whether it's going well and things are positive or if it's not going well either.
It has seemed that this team, and really Andrew Brunette as well, can never get too high, never get too low. After a couple of losses, you don't let yourself kind of wallow in it. After a couple of wins, it's not, you know, getting too high or getting too ahead of yourselves. How are you as a team able to stay so focused and so grounded?
Yeah, I think you just realize in today's NHL, I mean, there's just no time to waste as far as either having negative energy or like I said, getting complacent. So whatever the day calls for, day off, practice, or game day, You've got to have your focus in the right state of mind, and I think that's just what our group's done a good job of. Like I said, is just taking what the day has given us here, and trying to be as prepared as we can each game. And our practices have been about as high paced and tempoed practices all year as far as my career. Our practices have been up there as far as the pace and play that we want to play with in a real game, and we try to emulate that in all the drills that we do. And I think it's been really effective for, you know, both young guys and veteran guys like myself to try to stay up to speed, because this game today is a fast-paced game, and if you're not able to make plays at a high level and at high speed and think the game fast, it's going to be tough for you to win games. So I think we've just been focusing on each day and trying to make the best of it, whether it's a practice, day off, or game day.
We're talking with Ryan McDonough, Nashville Predators defenseman. Now, Ryan, it's right about that midway point of the season. You had your ups and downs in the first half. What is it going to take in the second half to continue to play or even play better than what you have the first half of the season?
Yeah, I think we've definitely found what gives our team the best chance to win. We first and foremost, we've got to be skating. We've got to be skating fast, whether we have the puck or not. We always talk about back checking and tracking. And once we get that puck back, we attack fast and catch teams out of position. And for us, it's taking that next step and having every detail down to a perfection, so to speak, or close to it with 5-on-5. And then you go to special teams, power play and penalty kill. The power play opportunities are going to get less and less as the year goes on. It's just the way it goes. You might only get one or two looks a game, and you've got to be prepared and try to capitalize on them. And same with the PK. Power plays are improving throughout the season, and they're getting better and better. And so your PK has just got to be that much sharper and that much more effective, because that can be a big momentum change within a game and stuff. So I think just fine tuning our situations and our details. And like I said, trying to take that next step and just really execute while playing at a high pace.
Now also with the younger guys, is this right around the time where you start to see the younger guys start to sort of gravitate to you or some of the older players to sort of ask them, for advice as the season continues? Because, this is a long, grueling season, and you've been through it many years, but these young guys, it's some of their first times going through a long season. So is this a time where those young guys kind of, pick your brain about certain things?
Yeah, I think so. I think obviously you just try to set the tone each day and you want to make sure that everybody's in a stress-free environment. Playing professional sports is a high-pressure situation. These young guys are trying to make a name and trying to make a career for themselves and make an impact and impressions and all that sort of things. You want to make sure they're comfortable within the room. They can be themselves. They can go out and just play. And I think that's been a big thing with all our veterans, is just trying to help guys feel comfortable, make sure they're enjoying playing the game, enjoying playing in the NHL, because it's, the greatest league in the world, and you don't get many opportunities to play as a young guy and make an impression. So I think our group has done a great job of just creating a locker room where everybody can say something if they want to say something and do something if they want to do something. And like I said, just play the game that they want to play and they need to play for us to be an effective team.
Ryan McDonough is with us, defenseman for the Predators. They take on the LA Kings tomorrow night. Excuse me, guys. Ryan, one thing I noticed in the Vegas game, you guys, I heard Barry Trotz say this, you guys were nearly perfect in the first 15 minutes. They barely got to your end of the ice there, and you guys got into a lot of good scoring territories. But I noticed how good Vegas is defensively at being able to guard that high danger area between the circles in the slot. What makes them so effective in that area?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, you look at a lot of things. I mean, they certainly got a good coaching staff, made a great game plan, and they're a big physical team. A lot of size on that team, and guys with long, rangy sticks that take away time and space from you. We talked about it before. So it's going to be tough to get on the inside and tough to make plays against them. So, it might not be the pretty play that ends up being how you score a goal. And, came about with, you know, unfortunately our one and only goal was just, you know, getting a shot through, getting a tip on it, and as opposed to a tic-tac-toe play. So that's a veteran team over there. Obviously they've won before. They know what it takes. They know the importance of being well defensively and having your offense come off of that. And I think our group, you know, does that as well. I thought we played a really hard game against them, you know, had just as many chances against them and played well in front of juice too. And, you know, like I said, didn't capitalize enough on some of our looks. And like I talked about before, our power play had a few more opportunities than them. Would have liked to cash in there and try to, you know, get the game in our favor there too. So I still loved our effort, our skating, our pace, our intensity. Guys were engaged. That's what we talked about, having a great start. So we can definitely build on that and hopefully jump out to an early lead and kind of keep the game going in our way that way, hopefully tomorrow night.
Brian, one thing I'm noticing about the system that you guys are playing this year, just the results. I noticed a lot of games last year where the top teams in particular, many times it was hard to contain them and hold them under 35 or 40 shots. And sometimes on certain nights, you were really having to lean heavily on UC Saros. I'm seeing that happen a lot less. It looks like you guys, with the way you guys are playing, and you just described it to D-Mace, kind of putting teams back on their heels more. There's a lot less of those nights where it seems like you guys are really in your own end a lot.
Yeah, and again, that's kind of the way our system's built too. You know, we're not playing a man-on-man in our D-zone, and running around, running away from the net just to chase our guy around the zone. You know, we're told as defensemen not to kind of leave our quadrant around the net, protect that area. And I think that's helping us. You know, maybe a team gets a shot, maybe one shot, but we're there, we're around the net to get to the rebound quick and not get those long sustained pressure shifts in our own end and stuff. So, and like I talked about, we want to be on the attack too. We want to try to take away the puck before it even gets back to our zone, so teams, you know, can't even get shots going against us. That's, our forwards have been really tracking hard all year and doing a good job of that. So it's kind of a, you know, an effort between our system and the way we want to play and our mindset as far as, you know, getting up and out of our zone quick, not trying to make a pretty play per se out of our own zone, just putting pucks to areas where our forwards are really skating and putting teams on their heels. It's just allowed us not to have to spend as much time in our zone, which has been fun.
You've been playing some with Luke Shen, and you go back with him. He had a real significant injury right at the start of the season, which makes it tough for any player. But it looks like every week he's making more and more progress and getting more comfortable with where he fits in this. What are you seeing from him?
Definitely. I mean, obviously, you know, I have a ton of respect for Luke, the way he plays, the way he's physical, the way he stands up for his teammates there. You know, the other night when it wasn't going great against Anaheim, you know, does his best to try to get the momentum back on our side with a fight there. I mean, the guy's just played a ton of hockey, so he knows what it takes to win and what he needs to do to try to be effective and help the team in any way. He'll do that. Yeah, he's definitely getting more comfortable. Anytime you get a lower body injury, it affects your skating like that. Like I said, today's game is about skating, so it takes you a little bit longer than maybe it used to get up to speed and play you know, the way you need to play as a defenseman in today's game. But yeah, it's been fun being paired with him here. Obviously, we have some good chemistry. We can talk things out, get on the same page. And, you know, we definitely try to keep it simple out there and take pride in being hard to play against in our own zone.
Last one before I got to ask you about one more of your teammates, because this guy, every night, I just have these moments where I'm saying, my gosh, he's just done it again. Jeremy Lauzon is just crumpling people up. And just, I feel like somebody's going to go sports at some point. He's just getting these great hits, but it's not really for show too. It's just very textbook. It separates the man from the puck. It's the right play. But I mean, he really looks like he's improved as much as anybody on the team this year.
I would agree for sure. I mean, he has become a force out there and done it in the right fashion. Like you said, some guys can run around, take hits, try to take guys' heads off, get out of position, give up a goal, or take a penalty. And I think Lauzon's right on that fine line and on the right side of that line, you know, 99% of the time. And so it's been, you know, huge to see him just gain so much confidence. You know, you see him not only trying to to make plays in the D zone, but he's getting up in offensive zone, making plays, scoring goals this year. And like I said, just been really consistent in his reads, not forcing anything, but taking the game that comes to him and trying to make an impact. So he's been a huge part of our start this year, and we're going to need him to continue that down the stretch here for sure.
Talking with Ryan McDonough, a Nashville Predators defenseman. Ryan, this franchise, this team has undergone a lot of changes since you've arrived. New coach, new system, new general manager from last year to this season. So maybe what are some of the biggest changes that you've noticed from last year to this year, now that we're about halfway point through the season?
Like I said, it's a whole new staff, new players. That's obviously stands out first and foremost. Barry's been around a handful of times, a lot of times as a GM, just trying to see how guys are, going about their season, trying to help in any way. I think that's been huge to have Barry around, and obviously been on the coaching side for many years, and kind of knows what us players are feeling, kind of whether it's a win or a loss, kind of knows what we're going through, and can be there to help us and be a support line and like I said, try to help us in any way to help the facilities and what we need to get better as a team and help be as prepared as we can for games. So I think it's just been a collective effort, from the players, training staff, coaches, management, all trying to be on the same page here to most importantly, just win hockey games. That should be our goal. That should be your franchise's goal is what do you need to do to win games tonight? What do you need from us? And what do you need the players to bring? What do you need the training staff to bring? Coaches, you need extra video meetings. What do you need from us? It just seems like the outreach from everybody to try to help this team win a game has just gone through the roof. And that makes it fun as a player. No matter how many years you played, how many games you played, you want an organization that's, mindset is to win hockey games and not just show up and see what happens and go about our business casually. It's been intense in the right fashion. We've had some fun along the way, and we'll continue to try to win as many hockey games as we can here down the stretch and give ourselves a chance to make the playoffs.
Last one before we get you out of here. What do you think that this team as a whole has improved upon from the beginning of the season till now? I mean, what are one thing or a couple of things that you think this team can improve upon from now until the end of the season to potentially make a playoff push?
Yeah, I mean, I think early on in the season, you're kind of finding your whereabouts as a team, finding your chemistry. I think early on when things would go wrong, we would kind of just accept them. And, just kind of move on and not try to impose our will back and try to take it back from teams. And now, you see us getting a little more frustrated in the right fashion as far as going out, trying to take the game back over when it's not in our favor. And I think that's what happens over the course of a season. You hope that kind of mindset develops with the team. Because it's not going to be perfect. And obviously there's good teams out there, good players that are going to make things happen against you. But how do you respond to that? And I think we've really handled, negative things, losses, like I talked about, giving up a goal early in the game. I think we're really finding how to respond to that in the right fashion as far as going out and taking the game back over, trying to get back into the game. What do you need to do? The little things like that, little plays, whether it's a fight, a good forechecking shift, all those things kind of add up as far as getting the momentum back on your side and getting back into a hockey game. And I just think we're doing a great job not accepting like losses or goals against within a game. So it's been fun to see that transition of our team, and we feel like we're never out of a game.
Ryan McDonough, Predator defenseman. Ryan, really appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us this morning, and good luck tomorrow against the Kings.
All right. Thanks, guys. Be safe there in Nashville.
Appreciate it. Yeah, we are freezing over here. And it's a total of, I think, 5 degrees outside, which is much warmer than 0 degrees it was when I woke up this morning. But we'll react to what Ryan McDonough had to say there. Plus, there's been a narrative maybe about a Predators player that Willie wants to squash. And we'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, we are broadcasting live from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville Studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. Appreciate Predators defenseman Ryan McDonough for joining us in the last segment. Speaking of Predators defensemen, there's been one Predators player in particular that we've brought up on our show, that we've brought up with Chris Mason, of maybe some Predators fans out there feeling like Roman Josi doesn't look like peak Roman Josi. On Stillman & Company yesterday, Jared had Barry Trotz, Predators general manager, on and addressed maybe some concerns that he and some Predators fans might have about Roman Josi. Does Barry Trotz feel the same way? This was Predators GM Barry Trotz on Stillman & Company yesterday.
Well, I think what you've seen is a standard of excellence with Roman for, I don't know how many years, now. And I would say that Roman is playing still at a very, very high, excellent level. I think this year, because of the fact that there's a little bit of change the way we play, you play a certain way for, 20 years, and then all of a sudden we're going to play a little differently. There's going to be some time to adapt, but we want him to join the play. I think it's going to help in his long-term durability. I think he can play bigger minutes because of the way we play. Mm-hmm. And hopefully that helps his career. Some of the people will say that, maybe defensively he's not as good or whatever. I don't see that. I would see some, him adapting to the situational stuff that happens because of the way we play. We were playing with a lot more risk than we have in the past. So there's times he's not going to look, it puts him at risk, defensively, because, they're asked to get up in the play. They're asked to trust the guy with the puck. For instance, on that third goal, he was trusting that puck was going to go deep or it was going to go into his corner. It wasn't going to go cross ice and be picked off. Mm-hmm. And so when people look at that, sometimes you can fault the a player like Roman, who's a defenseman up there. But really it is on puck management sometimes and the decisions made by the puck carrier. So, I'd go over that play again and give you as a coach and watch it on film again and define it. But that's part of what I see at times is some of the decision making with the puck when we have it, and Roman's trying to complement it by getting in position so that he can complement the offensive part of it. So, but I see that in Carrier, I see that in different guys at different times. So it's not Roman. I think Roman's excellent. I think he's a cornerstone to our franchise. And if we don't have Roman, we're not winning as many hockey games in the I know that for a fact, and I will. So I love Roman as a player. I love Roman as a person. I think he's a cornerstone in the National Hockey League. But there's an adjustment time for him, just as there is for anybody in our hockey team.
And again, that was Predators general manager Barry Trotz on Stillman & Company yesterday. So if you're a Predators fan out there saying Roman Josi isn't the same kind of game-breaking player that we're used to him being, Barry Trotz says, hey. Slow your roll. He's doing just fine. Willie Donick, you want to squash this narrative about Roman Josi?
Well, I see where it started, because there's no question that Roman would be the first to tell you, and we just heard Ryan McDonough talking about the differences between the two systems, right? When you're playing more in a zone, I'm simplifying it, right? The way – defensive coverage. The defensive coverage in front of UC Saros is a little different. Mm-hmm. Whereas before, when it's a little more man-on-man, going back to Peter Laviolette, they played a lot of man-on-man. And that really allowed, back in those days, the defenseman to get it and go and just skate the puck up the ice. So Roman Josi has adapted his game. And the first few games, I think, were probably a little bit more of a struggle for Roman than virtually anybody else, because he was the one that was probably changing more than anybody. You started to hear it some in training camp. Barry Trotz was on with us over at the Ford Ice Center, and talked about the adjustment that Andrew Burnett was asking Roman Josi to make. But if you look at it now, the numbers are really coming around. And I tweeted this out earlier today. He is still like it may not be quite as flashy because he's not carrying the puck from end to end as much, right? He's passing the puck ahead more and then joining in behind on that second wave. But the numbers are really coming around, and he still ranks way up there among the best defensemen in the league. He's sixth in points, and that's despite the slow start. He's got a point per game in the last 25 games, and he's still sixth overall among defensemen. And then you look at I pulled a lot of analytics from SportLogic, and he's right up there in all the categories, fourth, second, first in shots on goal, most shots on goal of any defenseman. Inner slot shots, which is where you want to take the shots. Those are the shots that go in more, closer to the net, in front of the net, between the circles. That's where you want to get. He's getting there. Third most in the league there. Passes to the slot, eighth. Number one in offensive generating plays per 20 minutes. So any narrative that he has dropped off or lost a step or anything like that, I just think that's inaccurate. And because I know where it came from. It came from the he had to adapt at the beginning of the season, and he did get off to a slow start the first six or seven games, I would say. But the numbers are coming around just fine for Roman Josi.
Now, Willie, would you liken it to, as I'm listening to you, and then I went back and looked at the numbers from him from his previous years, and you're right, he's probably the guy that has to change the most because of what they were asking him to do prior to hiring Coach Bruno. I sort of liken it to Tyreek Hill, his last year in Kansas City, where the numbers, you know, yardage per catch went down. The numbers went down a little bit because teams were changing up some things and they were asking him to do some different things, but he still was impacting a game. He still was impacting the game in other ways, maybe ways people didn't see. People were just looking at the numbers and not his total impact on what they do as a team. Do you sort of look at it from that standpoint with Josi?
Yeah, I think that's a good correlation. And when you have elite players, I think the idea that you have, and I think Roman Josi being a team guy, it's how are you impacting the team and helping them win? I think Tyreek Hill is on a different team. They might go about it a little bit differently, but he's still making a huge impact, MVP type of impact. Now, I don't think Roman Josi is having his best year. I don't think he's going to win the Norris this year. So the bar is extremely high. But he's still having, if you just look at those rankings right there, top three, top five, in all of these very essential categories, he's still an elite defenseman. And he is helping his team, I think, overachieve right now. And here's the other part of it. He's not playing on a team that is loaded with tons of offensive talent, right? How do defensemen a lot of times rack up points, like Evan Bouchard of the Oilers? Well, he's playing with Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid. Just get those guys the puck.
Yeah.
You end up with a lot of it just by making a pass there. Roman Josi has to carry the offense, right? He's got one great line on his team. Philip Forsberg's having maybe his best year. But other than that, it's a pretty ordinary offense. That's not a knock on the Predators, but they're about middle of the road in offense, and he is elevating that. And his defense partner – once upon a time was a guy like Ryan Ellis or a guy like Shea Weber who were going to take or also get a lot of offense from their side of the defense. But he's not playing with those types of guys now. He's playing with Dante Fabro. He's playing with Ryan McDonough. Those guys aren't nearly as offense generators, of the puck. So he does a lot, and he's still getting a lot done for sure. So I just wanted to put that in perspective when you're trying to look at Roman Josi. It may not look quite as flashy, but it's still elite. And also keep this in mind. There is a little thing called shooting percentage, right? It's like a batting average. Roman Josi has the most shots on goal of any defenseman, but his shooting percentage is down a little bit. But it's a little bit like baseball. There's a little luck involved there, and I think there's a little progression that could happen. So I think if he has a little bit of luck in the second half, the goals will still end up being at a very high level.
It does kind of feel like this is a sports story as old as time, sometimes you become a victim of your own success. Sometimes, you know, fans will look at it and say, okay, if you are not playing at the highest of highs of an elite level and you're not putting up the massive numbers, all of a sudden it's, oh no, what's wrong? You know, we've seen that with Derrick Henry, where if Derrick Henry's not popping off the 75-yard touchdown run, all of a sudden it's, ah, he's washed. And it's like, no, no, no. He can still be a pretty effective back. He's just not going to give you those same big, flashy Sports Center top 10 kind of plays. I think it maybe on a different level than Derrick Henry. Maybe it's a very similar story with Roman Josi, where Predators fans are so accustomed to pretty much Roman Josi carrying a good bit of the load on his back, and he doesn't have to do that anymore. That's a net positive as far as the Predators are concerned. It looks different. Success in a good game, good play from Roman Josi looks different in a different system, but it doesn't make it any less effective.
Yeah, and I think, kind of like Derrick Henry, you're wary that as he gets older, and he's still in the middle of this long contract that he signed, with a lot of expectations. He's the captain. He's making $9 million a year, and a lot is expected of him, just like Derrick Henry. And he is going to age over time. At some point, he's not going to be quite as fleet and able to just, you know, skate around everybody. He can still absolutely do it, just like Derrick Henry can still be effective. Yeah. But I think Roman Josi will get into those stages of his career, and he'll have to adapt his game. But I still think if you look at the numbers, there's not a big drop off, if any. It's maybe not his career year, but it's still a Roman Josi type of dominant season ranked among the other defensemen. And I think too, there could be another level as he continues to get comfortable in this system and has maybe a little bit more puck luck. He's trending in the right direction for sure.
Yeah. I mean, and I get it. I understand the sentiment. I understand the idea, but you're hearing from the GM there. Hey, it's still playing at an incredibly high level. All right, we'll continue this conversation coming up next. And of course, get into your phones as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. And speaking of the Predators, tomorrow it is your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click. If you correctly guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the Preds game tomorrow night, then you will win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Participate with Robbie and Rex Road tomorrow morning at 8:45 a.m. Pick to Click brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We will chat with Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow, in just over 10 minutes. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans coaching search, Dan Graziano's name to watch. But I also want to get his thoughts on Derrick Henry's interview on Bussin' with the Boys. So this just came out last night. And I always, if there's ever a Titans player or Titans topics on Bussin' with the Boys, I always have to listen, because that's an environment where I feel like players can kind of sit back, relax, maybe let it fly a little bit more than a traditional sit down or in a traditional press conference. Like going back to this past spring when Kevin Byard was on Bussin' with the Boys, we got a lot of insight of what went down with the request for a pay cut, so on and so forth. So this podcast dropped last night. Derrick Henry sit down with Taylor Lewan and Will Compton, and a lot of insight of looking back, reflection of his career with the Tennessee Titans, what comes next for Derrick Henry. We will get into all of that. But there was one tidbit in particular that I think shed a lot of light on maybe the question that you've asked yourself, that I know I've asked myself of, man, the Titans, you're in the AFC Championship game, the number one seed in the AFC just two seasons ago. And then now here you are, 6-11, the coach is fired. You got a top 10 pick the last 2 years, I guess the 11th overall pick, but still high first round pick in the last two seasons, losing seasons the last 2 years. What went wrong? How did we get here? Derrick Henry provided a little bit of insight as to what changed, at least inside the locker room.
I got hurt. I still think we were pretty solid. You know, and with, you know, this year, you know, one thing I would say is, like, in years past, when hit the fan, even when you were there, you can look to your left or your right, and you know when the pressure comes, you know the person to your left or right is going to respond. Mm-hmm. And if you need to lean on them, you can lean on them by being in those situations with them before. And this year, like you said, when you came to the facility, it just didn't, you know, it kind of felt like out of place. And whenever I came back for OTAs earlier last year, you know, I was talking to KB, we both kind of felt the same way. It was like, it just felt different. Mm-hmm. You know, when we used to come back, it was kind of like that home feeling, like we was, the O-line was all together. Everybody knew everybody and everybody was like, yeah, we was all family. But it was just different this year because you had a lot of young guys. And, you know, this year was like the first time I was like, it felt like they're taking a shift.
Yeah.
I don't know when it's going to happen, but you can just feel it at some point. They're going to shift.
You get those guys like Ben and guys like Will that like do a great job of like incorporating other position groups with other position groups and like keeping a glue together when you start to lose. And then you have pieces that have been there for so long. Like those guys go away. It's like there's a level of instability that's going to come with that.
And it's so crazy because like in the moment in time, you know, you just playing, having fun, and you're out there balling, but you don't realize how short that window is in that moment. And like how good we had a team, bro, and we were close. Like we had some dogs.
Yes.
Like we had some dogs. And it sucks that we didn't get it done. When I look back on it, and even like this year, I did it plenty of time. I was like, man, we had a team. We were solid, bro.
Like 3 years
and
in a row.
We enjoyed each other's company. Like in the locker room, where everybody would laugh. Everybody was cool. And it was trying to work. We worked. You know what I'm saying? And like, and we all just like, we all hung out. We all can joke on one another. Nobody had no egos. Everybody could hold each other accountable. Everybody, you know, was just like, it was that brotherhood. And in the moment, you know, you don't realize like how quickly that can go by until it's gone. But like, we had a squad, bro.
It is so incredibly rare.
We can cut it, whatever. But again, that was Derrick Henry on Bussin' with the Boys. And Derrick Henry said, look, it felt different in the locker room. That it wasn't, you know, I look around and just see a bunch of dogs, a bunch of leaders. It didn't feel that way. And honestly, for me, it felt different on the outside looking in. So when I look at how things have shifted, listening to Derek talk about how different things were, that there was a level of accountability, that there was a certain culture in the building, I have to look at it and I have to think, well, is that culture shift? Is that change in accountability, that change in feeling in the locker room? That due to John Robinson trading away team leaders and the dogs, quote unquote, or is that on Mike Vrabel not continuing this level of expectation and accountability and quote unquote culture in the locker room, even when some of those foundational pieces moved on?
Well, I mean, he was telling you right there, even though as you listen to the beginning of that interview, he was shocked that Vrabel got fired. But it showed you that, listen, things are changing within this organization. And, you know, everybody, it's just not the same in regards to that. There's going to be change throughout NFL teams. That happens. But I believe the coaches that last the longest are able to merge sort of that young and that old group and allow them to sort of still grow in such a way that bond is still in the locker room. As he was talking, I'm thinking about, you know, from 1997 to 2004, where the same things Derrick Henry was describing as far as the community within the locker room, the closeness, the bond. I always tell people, like, that was probably the best locker room that I had been in my sports career. Why? Because we all grew up in Nashville together. We all came here together, basically, and we all grew up together. So we had a tight, close knit. That's why, guys, when we see them now, it's like we saw them yesterday. Like we never miss a beat. It's good to see those guys. But it's up to the coach to make sure that continues no matter how much the roster shifts. Mm-hmm. And he felt it. It was different when they walked in that building, not in the middle of the season, but at the beginning of the season. That tells me that maybe, just maybe, Mike Vrabel, as good as he is as a head coach, maybe he couldn't relate to some of those players within a locker room, some of those young players. And again, if you are a coach and you want to last with a team for a long time, you have to be able to relate to these younger guys, because rosters get young very quickly. And the Tennessee Titans roster got young. So he needed to find a way to merge that young group with the remaining older guys that were there, Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill, guys like that, that were there, Kevin Byard. They were sort of the last, guards. And when they felt old, when they felt like things were changing, that's when the problems occur. And you saw it on the field. It's that team. And then, you know, things coming out of our locker room with Tier Tartan, certain players, you would have never saw that 3, 4, 5 years ago with a Tennessee Titan team. But because, you know, he didn't sort of merge the young and the old well, you start seeing these little hiccups here and there in a locker room.
I think that's fair. But I also think the overriding reason is when I was listening to him talk about those times, I thought a lot about exactly what you just brought up, Derek. Your teams, 99 through 2003, really, when I get down to it, five pretty special teams, with the one exception being 01, where the injuries just kind of derailed the season. But that five-year run was a great run. This was a little bit of a shorter run for this Titans group. But I just kind of think of a cycle, and the cycle was just coming to an end almost naturally. And the thing that can keep it going is if you have great drafts. But that's where I think John Robinson's drafts that came up empty largely in 2020, 2021, those young players that you were talking about, D-Mace, maybe they didn't mix, but also they weren't nearly as good, right?
Exactly.
You didn't have a fusion of young players that were coming up to replace the players that they mentioned that they were sort of regretful in hindsight that they let go. He mentioned Jack Conklin. He mentioned Jonnu Smith. He mentioned AJ, obviously. You know, he was like, man, I wish we could have kept those guys. So hindsight, but I think as we get further removed too, you have to appreciate that those teams were so good. You know, those were good teams. And they that one year, you can tell they all still have the regrets that they missed their chance to really do something when you earn the number one seed. It's a bummer that their best teams there didn't quite get as far as maybe they potentially could have.
Yeah, and I think it's fair once you get to this point, looking back on the era that you had so much success, and then you get past that point, you look back and think, man, you know, wish I would have known I was in the good old days before I left him. But I kind of in agreement with D-Mace that falls on Mike Vrabel to try and continue that culture, to try and continue that. If you are going to be a team and an organization that prides yourself on accountability and culture, well, you're not always going to have those glue pieces. It's identifying those next leaders. Now, look, it's a business. You're going to have to move on from players. That Ben Jones was getting to a certain point in his career that he couldn't play at a certain level, that you couldn't hold on to players, whether it's contract or play level, whatever it might be. You can't hold on to players forever. You can't try and hold on to that lightning in a bottle forever. And that falls on the coach to try and seamlessly transition from one era to another. And it's not easy. It's not an easy task. But now that task is on Rand Carthon's to-do list. That task is now on the next coach's to-do list, to rebuild that foundation, to rebuild that level of accountability that the Titans have had in the locker room in the past. But I want to get Jonathan Hutton's thoughts on this coming up next. He will join us. We'll get his thoughts on the coaching search, his thoughts on Derrick Henry's interview on Bussin' with the Boys and all things Titans. Jonathan Hutton joins us coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or Die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.